We'll look today at the subject of the Great Commission. And I'm going to read in the Gospel of Matthew, first of all, the Gospel of Matthew, towards the end of the Gospel. It's chapter 28, in fact, of Matthew. Chapter 28, and we're reading from verse 18, chapter 28 and verse 18. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the earth." And then I'm going to read the same incident as recorded in the Gospel. We'll look today at the subject of the Great Commission. And I'm going to read in the Gospel of Matthew, first of all, the Gospel of Matthew, towards the end of the Gospel. It's chapter 28, in fact, of Matthew. Chapter 28, and we're reading from verse 18, chapter 28 and verse 18. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the earth." And then I'm going to read the same incident as recorded in the Gospel of Luke. And again, it's in the final chapter of Luke, which is Luke chapter 24, and this time reading from verse 45. "Then he," that's Jesus, "opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures, and he told them, 'This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.'" I'm sure God will bless the reading of his word. I think we're a wee problem getting the thing up. I don't need it, lads, if it's a problem. I can manage without it, so don't worry about it. This is known as the Great Commission in the Scriptures, where Jesus commissioned his disciples, and I suppose us today, to go into all the world and to preach the Gospel. It's a commission that comes with priority, because it's urgent and it is important. It's a priority because these are among the last words that the Lord Jesus Christ actually spoke to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. Last words are always important, usually before people die. But these were the last words that Jesus spoke before he was caught up into heaven, where he is at present. So they're important because they're last words. They're important because they're repeated in the scripture. The Bible puts some emphasis on them. And they're important because the Lord's command is contained there for his church. The Lord's instruction for his disciples in their day and for us today is included there. And so it's part of God's unfolding plan of salvation, part of God's unfolding plan of redemption. So it's a commission that comes with priority. It's important and it's urgent. And it's just as important and just as urgent today as it was in the time when the Lord Jesus Christ actually spoke these words. It's just as important today, although this world acts as if it isn't important and gives no urgency to the matter of salvation. You know, I was reading recently, thanks very much, I was reading recently about some words by William Barclay, famous Church of Scotland minister and professor, I believe, at Glasgow University in theology. And he was saying how that the time President Kennedy was assassinated, he got his evening newspaper. And as he looked at the newspaper, of course, you'd expect there were 5 pages devoted to the assassination of President Kennedy. And there was 3 pages, I think, devoted to an important football match that had taken place at that time. And there was a page devoted to women's fashion, and there was a couple of pages devoted to holidays. But that night in the newspaper, the usual article by a minister, a Christian article that was normally in the newspaper, there was a wee notice saying, sorry, we don't have any space for this tonight. It's been left out. And that just illustrates the importance that this world puts on all sorts of things, but doesn't put any importance in the gospel message. The Lord Jesus Christ, one day speaking to Peter and to his disciples, said this. He said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That proves the importance that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to this commission that he asked his disciples to take forward into the world. And I suppose the question for each of us today is, what importance do we attach to that? Are we taken up with all the things of this world, with all its problems and worries, all its pleasures? Are we taken up with that and not taken up with the things that really matter, with the things that really count, with the things that really are important? And that is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a book, the Bible. It's readily obtainable. I went into one of these cheap bookshops at Brayhead one day, and I found a New King James Version, beautifully bound Bible, lovely book, 99 pence being sold in the cheap section. So everyone today can afford a Bible. And yet, although most homes still, I believe, have a Bible, very few folk actually read it to see what God has to say to us. Nothing can be more important than that, surely, than finding out what God has to say to us. So this comes with priority. It also comes with power and with proof. It also comes with power and with proof. The boys just managed to get up in time as I was coming to it. It's a commission with power, and it comes with the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? These disciples, you see, that Jesus spoke to on this day, they had been with the Lord Jesus Christ. They had heard his teaching, and he was one who spoke with authority. They had also seen his miracles. He was one who acted with authority. And there had been witnesses, eyewitnesses of his resurrection from the dead. What a story these disciples had to tell. They were witnesses to his teaching. They had been with Jesus for 3 years. They'd heard the Lord speak to them many times, and they had listened to this marvellous teaching that he brought to them. The people of Israel at this time were a people who were oppressed. They were oppressed by the Roman power and had no political freedom. They were a people who knew some religious oppression because the religion was contained, but also the leaders of the people had embellished the pure and good law of God in such a way that they had introduced all sorts of unnecessary burdens and restrictions on the people at that time. So they were oppressed in that sense. They were oppressed economically. The Romans had put tax collectors over them who were collecting money and making life very, very difficult for these people. And so they were oppressed in that sense as well. And they also lived in a society where it was commonly believed that if you were wealthy and rich, that was a sign that God was blessing you and you would go to heaven. And if you were poor, you wouldn't. And yet along comes this man Jesus with a revolutionary message. A message that said to a people oppressed by Rome, love your enemies. Now that was revolutionary for people to hear. Who came to a people who were oppressed in a sense by an unnecessary burden that the religious leaders had put on them. And they said, come to me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a revolutionary message that was. And to a people who believe that the riches were a sign of God's blessing, he said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. What a revolutionary message that was. Of course, the eye of the needle was a little gate, as most people know, within the big gate of the city. And sometimes if a traveller came with a camel at night, it was difficult to get through because the camel had to lay off its burden and it then had to get down on its, can a camel get down on its knees, whatever it had to do, and almost crawl through this gate. It was a very difficult thing to do. And isn't that like a picture of all of us, rich or poor? We have to unburden ourselves. We have to get rid of our sins in order to come into God's great salvation. So to a people who had all these things, the Lord came with a message that was revolutionary, a message that was different to any they had heard. And the common people of the day said, this man speaks with authority. When someone speaks with authority, they speak as if they know what they're talking about, don't they? And they speak from a moral position that's correct and good, and they speak from a trustworthy position. We can trust them. And so the common people who heard the Lord Jesus said, this man speaks with authority. So here comes the Lord with this message that's different. I know it's still a revolutionary message in the world today. And because of that, it's still a message that's rejected by men and women and by boys and girls as well. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, as we've said, put great importance on that message when he spoke to his disciples. This was something, a priority message that they had to hear. Remember Peter, the Lord spoke to his disciples. He said, who do people say that I am? Peter said, you're the Christ of God. And immediately the Lord said, you know, Peter, you've a view of what that means, and your view's erroneous. You think that means that I'm going to lead the nation, drive the Romans out, restore Israel to its glory, and we'll all have a lovely time of peace and quiet. He said, it's not going to be that at all. It means a cross. That's what it means. It's a way of a cross. Remember, Peter said, oh, that could never be. Get thee behind me, Satan, said Jesus. The way I'm going is the way of the cross. That's not my purpose. That's my mission. That's what I'm, the way that I have to go. And that's the way that will be a way of offense to people. People will reject that way. To the Jews, it will be a stumbling block. To the Greeks, Gentiles, it will be foolishness, this preaching of the cross. But to those who believe, it's the power of God unto salvation. So Jesus spoke with authority. But he also acted with authority. These disciples were eyewitnesses of many miracles. They'd seen the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ over sickness, hadn't they? He had touched the untouchable leper. I may have told this story here before, but a few years ago I remember listening to a chap called Pastor Huff, who worked with the leprosy mission. And he told how people were scared of leprosy. In Hong Kong, they tried to get houses for cured lepers. There was nothing wrong with them. They weren't infectious in any way. But there were riots in the street as people were so scared of leprosy. He told the story of how in Burma, some of the leprosy mission people had been stopped by bandits going through the forest, made them get out of the car, and they had guns at their heads while they went through all their baggage. And they saw leprosy. They must have been able to read or whatever. And they saw the word leprosy. And they ran and left everything. So scared of leprosy. But Jesus touched the untouchable leper. Probably someone that had never had human contact for many years. Jesus touched them and healed them. They'd seen the power of the Lord Jesus Christ over disease and sickness of many types. They'd seen the power of the Lord Jesus Christ over death. They had seen him raise a young girl from the dead. Lazarus was raised from the dead. They'd seen his power over that. They'd seen the power of the Lord Jesus Christ over evil as he cast out evil spirits from people. They'd seen his power over the very forces of nature when out in the boat on the lake that day, and the storm came up I don't know if you've ever been in a boat or a storm. It's happened to me twice. On one occasion, I could tell you, it was pretty scary. But there they were, fishermen who knew that lake, who'd been in storms before, and they were getting worried. It must have been bad. Jesus stood up and said, "Peace, be still." And the sea was calmed. And they said, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey him?" They had seen the power of the Lord Jesus Christ over all these things. They had seen him reverse what sin had brought into the world. You know, that's all of these things come from sin. Sin has come into this world, and with it, disease, sickness, illness, and even the forces of nature have been affected by sin. But Jesus showed his authority and his control over all these things, and he showed his authority over sin. Because the Pharisees said, "Who is this? What right have you to forgive sins?" But he showed his power and his authority over all these things. But the disciples had seen his power in his resurrection from the dead. They had seen Jesus crucified and put on a cross, and yet they'd seen him raised from the dead. They'd seen him miraculously appear before them. What a story these disciples had to tell of what they had witnessed. They were eyewitnesses of all of these things. They had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. They had seen his power. And you know, the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The word that uses for power in Romans is has the same origin as the word we use for dynamite. It's got the same origin as that word dynamite. The gospel is God's dynamite. Now, I used to work in a place that made dynamite, and when you joined there, the first thing they did was to take you down to the testing station, and they would set off some dynamite or gelignite and let you see its power, let you see what it could do. And they would say to you, "Now, don't be scared of this stuff, but treat it with respect. It deserves to be treated with respect. The gospel is God's dynamite, and it deserves to be treated with respect. But it's not respected in this world. And we shouldn't be scared of it, as many people are. They're frightened. Frightened to come to a place like this. Frightened to let God into their life. They put all sorts of barriers up because they're scared of what it might mean for them, what the implications might mean. And yet, what does the Lord promise us? Life, everlasting life, and a beautiful life here on earth that nothing else can come close to, nothing else can touch. So this gospel message comes to us with this commission that the Lord Jesus Christ gave, comes with power. But it comes with truth, doesn't it? These disciples were the eyewitnesses, and these were the people that Jesus sent out into the world to tell people. What if they'd said, "Ah, well, we won't bother. We're too scared." I mean, they had doubts. There were people like us. They had doubts. They had fears. They had concerns. They just wondered what was going to happen now, what they were supposed to do. The Lord Jesus Christ said he would give them power to go out into the world, and so they did. And they told people of things they had heard and things they had seen, things that they were eyewitnesses to. I know today sometimes people worry about eyewitnesses. My son recently witnessed a crime, and he had to go up to the procurator fiscal to make a statement of what he had seen. And after he came out, he said to me, you know, he asked me, he said, "Was the guy wearing a blue shirt or something like that?" He said, I said, "I couldn't remember that." And I said to him, "But that's what you told me immediately afterwards. You told me he was wearing a blue shirt," and he'd forgotten all about it. But these disciples, you see, were accurate eyewitnesses. They just hadn't seen one miracle at a distance. They'd seen many miracles close up. They just hadn't heard the Lord Jesus Christ declare who he was. At once, they'd heard it many times, and some of them had been eyewitnesses on that mountain when he was transfigured before him, and they saw his glory, and they saw his power. And these people, they wrote these books so that we might know what they had seen and what they had heard the Lord Jesus Christ say, and God gave them power to take that message and transmit it across the world. And so it comes to us today as we proclaim this great news for the world. Good news for modern man used to be our Bible, I believe, at one time. And that's what we have. Good news for modern man. And yet people are blinded today, blinded by Satan, lest the light of the gospel should shine in. But you know, it's a commission. It comes with priority, it comes with power, it comes with proof and evidence of its truth and validity, but it comes with purpose. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have to go into all the world because the gospel is needed everywhere. The gospel is needed no matter where we go, no matter, because sin exists everywhere in the world. We just have to look round the world today and we see sin in every people, in every nation, and every tribe. There's not a place you can go to in the world but you'll find the evidences of sin. We find crime, we find man's inhumanity to man, we find death, we find destruction, we find evil. No matter where we go across the world, we find sin. I remember at the time of the massacre in Dunblane, was it? Yeah, Dunblane. People were on TV and radio debating whether there was evil in the world. Folk were saying, this man's evil, he murdered these children. Another folk were saying, no, there's no such thing as evil. But there was one woman I remember, and she said, no, there's no such thing as evil. She said, it's just something that's in us that interacts with our environment. And I thought, well, that's quite a good definition of sin that I've ever heard. It's something that's in us and in our environment around about us. And sin exists across the world, no matter where we go. We find evil, we find destruction, we find wrong, and we find people moving away from God's way. So the gospel is needed in all people. It's needed across the whole globe. And the Bible says that one day people from every nation and every tongue will be present in heaven and stand before him. Paul tells us in Ephesians, we are one in Christ Jesus, doesn't he? He tells us about that. He says the barriers between Jew and Greek have been broken down. So we find that national barriers, racial barriers, cultural barriers, economic barriers are broken down in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the gospel is needed by all people in all places. But the purpose was to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We might have said, purpose is to go out and preach the gospel so that people are saved. But Jesus says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because when we look at baptism, we come to the very core of the gospel message. We come to the core of its meaning and its purpose. Now, in a place like this, baptism is done by total immersion. People are baptized and submerged in water and then raised again. And that is symbolic. It's an illustration of the Lord Jesus Christ and his purpose and his mission. He came into this world as a perfect being. He died on a cross. He gave up his life on the cross. He went into death and was raised again to life. And we who put our trust and faith in that, we are baptized because we're saying we believe that's true. We identify with that. And when we're baptized, we're saying we're leaving the old things behind. We're leaving the old way behind. And we're raised to a newness of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it really means for us. We are new people, new creatures in the Lord Jesus. Go into all the world, baptizing them. Making it in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life as a seal and as a proof of the fact that the Lord Jesus is present with us. That's what I was trying to say to the boys and girls. And finally, this is a commission that comes with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and his promise. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. No, that reminds me that there is an end to this age. That this world as we see it will come to an end someday and everything that seems solid and everything that seems sure and certain will come to an end. A few months ago I was working down in England and I was waking up in the middle of the night, couldn't understand what was happening because the place was shaking and there was a freestanding wardrobe in the room that I really thought was going to come over the top of it. So I jumped out of bed as this shook and the bed was shaking. I got on the ground and the ground was shaking. Couldn't understand what's happening, what's going wrong. And something happened to the building. And then it suddenly dawned on me. I thought, an earthquake in Saltburn? Middlesbrough, you can't have an earthquake here, but there was. And everything that had seemed solid and sure was suddenly moving around. Haven't we seen that economically in the last few days. Sometimes man feels they're in control of everything. Nothing can go wrong. Period of economic growth and prosperity can go on forever. Then suddenly we find we're not so clever. We're not so sure, and things start to shake around about us. Yeah, it's a sign to me that the Lord gives us that everything that exists in this world, there is no certainty about it. But the only certainty we have is that those who trust in the Lord are His children. He is our Father. He loves us with an everlasting love, and He'll never let us go. That's the promise He's given, to be with us to the very end of the age, and to be with us beyond that, because we go into His presence to be with Him eternally. Now, people are sometimes worried about trusting the Lord Jesus. They're sometimes worried about salvation because they're a wee bit scared. They put up barriers. What will people think? What will people do? Will I be able to keep it? And all that kind of thing. But you know, it's not our power that keeps us. It's the Lord's power. The Lord has promised to be with us always to the very end of the age. He'll never let us go. He'll never let us down. And the Bible says He's a friend who is closer than a brother. And I suppose that brings us back to what we're saying at the beginning. There is nothing more important than knowing the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ are your promises. There's nothing more important than recognizing that we rest secure, and we're held secure, no matter what happens in this world. We're held secure by the power of God, and we're kept by His presence in our lives day by day. He will never let us go. He is always with us. There's a story I'm going to tell. I think I've told it here before, and if I have, forgive me, but I'm sure I have. But it was in my mind as I was driving up today and thinking about what I was going to say. And it concerned a ship during the last war that was torpedoed in the South Atlantic. And the crew took to the lifeboats. They had time to take to the lifeboats, and they weren't sure where they were. They drifted in the currents for several weeks, and they'd run out of water, and they began to be thirsty. There had no water left. Now, one thing you should never do is drink seawater, of course, but one of the crew, whether from desperation or whatever, started to drink the seawater, and the rest stopped them. And, of course, he called out as he took the water, "It's not salt, it's fresh water." Because no one believed him, but someone put their finger into the water and said, "It's fresh water." And what happened was they drifted in towards the coast of Brazil, where the Amazon River is. And at certain times of the year, the Amazon is a huge volume of water that floods out to the sea, and it covers the salt water for a bit before it mixes in with it. Such a volume. They were much closer to the land than they thought. And they were actually floating in a sea of fresh water that they could actually drink and survive. It's an amazing story. I read that in a book about the Second World War. But as I read it, what struck me was this. Isn't that just like people in the world today? Isn't it just like the world? People are adrift and thirsty and looking for something to satisfy. And all around is a sea of God's mercy, available freely to them, if only they will come and put their trust in Him. What keeps us back? What keeps us back doesn't matter. What keeps us back is unimportant. What keeps us back is trivial, because we can know the Lord and know His power in our lives. It is no secret, the wee chorus says, what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. So we proclaim the word of God today. And our hope and prayer is that everyone here knows the Saviour, and if you don't, that you today come to Him and put your trust and your faith in Him. The Great Commission comes to us. We have discharged it today in preaching the gospel, and the responsibility now rests with the hearer to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray?